Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Crow's Feast, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1. The call came in at 3:27 a.m., the kind of hour where nothing good ever happens. I was sitting in my kitchen, staring at a half-empty bottle of whiskey, debating whether to pour another glass or call it a night. The weight of the past week had settled into my bones, the exhaustion creeping in like a slow poison. Sleep had become a luxury I couldn't afford, and the silence of my empty house had started to feel suffocating. Then the radio crackled, breaking the quiet. "Sheriff, you need to get out here. Now." I straightened, recognizing the voice instantly. Deputy Rawlings. There was something off in his tone, something strained. I'd known Rawlings for years, and he wasn't the type to rattle easily. I reached for the radio, clearing my throat. "Jesus, Rawlings, you better not be calling me over some drunk pissing in an alley." Silence stretched longer than it should have. Then a low, hesitant breath. "It's bad, Sheriff." My stomach tightened. I sat up straighter, the whiskey already forgotten. "How bad?" "Real bad." The room suddenly felt too quiet. My pulse picked up, the nagging sense of unease settling into my gut like a lead weight. I glanced at the clock. Almost 3:30. The kind of hour where ghosts walked, where secrets refused to stay buried. "Where?" "Old Thornton Barn. Off Route 6. I exhaled sharply. Of all the places. That barn hadn't been used for anything but ghosts and bad memories in over a decade. Nothing good ever happened there. Nothing ever would. I grabbed my keys and my gun and was out the door before I even realized I hadn't put on my damn boots. By the time I pulled up to the barn, the place was a mess of flashing lights, the red and blue pulses making the shadows stretch and twist in unnatural ways. The barn itself loomed like some kind of monster, its rotting wood and sagging roof giving the impression that it was breathing, waiting. Rawlings was standing by the entrance, arms crossed, his face pale under the harsh floodlights. He wasn't a rookie. He'd seen his fair share of bad things, but the way he looked at me when I got out of the car, it was the look of a man who had just seen something he couldn't unsee. He exhaled, rubbing the back of his neck. "Sheriff," his voice was hoarse, raw. "I don't even know where to start." I didn't respond, didn't ask. I just walked past him, stepping into the barn. And that's when the smell hit me. Blood. Thick, metallic, suffocating. It clung to the air, to the wooden beams, to the dirt floor. The kind of smell that never really leaves your nose, no matter how hard you try to shake it. Then I saw her. The girl was lying in the middle of the barn, her arms stretched out, legs apart, like some kind of grotesque crucifixion. Her skin, what wasn't covered in blood, was pale as marble, and deep slashes covered her from her collarbone to her navel. I forced myself to move closer. Forced myself to look. Because carved into her forehead, deep and jagged, was a name. My name. Barrett. My breath caught in my throat. For the first time in a long, long time, I felt something I hadn't felt in years. Fear. Rawlings shifted beside me. "Sheriff, what the fuck does this mean?" I didn't answer. Couldn't. Because I already knew. This wasn't just a murder. This was something else. Something darker. I crouched down, scanning the scene, forcing myself to take in the details. The carvings on her body weren't random. They were deliberate. Ritualistic. The symbols were arranged in a pattern, almost mathematical. Her fingers were broken. Her mouth was stuffed with fabric. Not just any fabric. A piece of my own goddamn shirt. I swayed on my feet, but I didn't let it show. I clenched my jaw so hard my teeth ached. Someone had done this for a reason. Someone had left her here for me to find. Rawlings muttered a curse under his breath. "Who the fuck does something like this?" I didn't answer. My fingers clenched, and I exhaled through my nose, trying to steady myself. Then I saw it. A black feather, lying just a few feet away from the body. I reached down, picking it up, rolling it between my fingers. A crow's feather. Rawlings stiffened beside me. "Sheriff, you think this has anything to do with those old stories?" I shot him a look, and he shut his mouth. Because he knew better. The stories. The whispers about this town, about the founding families and the sacrifices. About the crow's feast. I had spent my entire life ignoring those whispers. But now, standing here, holding that feather, staring at a girl with my name carved into her goddamn forehead, I wasn't so sure anymore. Rawlings' radio crackled. Sheriff, you there? The voice on the other end was Lydia, one of my night dispatchers. But something was wrong. I could hear it in her tone. I grabbed the radio from Rawlings' belt. Barrett here. What is it? Lydia hesitated. Then, Sheriff, we just got a call. Anonymous. They said. She swallowed hard. They said your daughter is next. Everything stopped. The barn disappeared. The body. The feather. The symbols. None of it mattered anymore. Because all I could think about was Riley. My daughter. And the fact that some sick bastard had just put a target on her back. My pulse roared in my ears. My fingers tightened around the radio. Lydia. My voice was ice. Did they say where? No. Just, she's next. And then they hung up. A storm broke inside me. I turned to Rawlings. Get in the car. Sheriff. I grabbed his arm, my grip iron. Now. Because if someone was coming for my daughter, they just signed their fucking death warrant. Chapter 2. The drive to my house was a blur. My fingers clenched the steering wheel so tight my knuckles turned white, and my jaw ached from how hard I was grinding my teeth. Rawlings sat beside me, silent, knowing better than to say anything. There was nothing to say. The second Lydia's voice had come through the radio, saying someone had called in a threat against Riley, something inside me had shifted. Fear wasn't an option. Not now. If I let that feeling creep in, it would paralyze me. And I wasn't about to freeze when my daughter's life was on the line. Instead, rage took over. Cold, calculating rage. The kind that builds slow, boiling beneath the surface, waiting for the right moment to erupt. As I sped down the dark backroads toward my house, I ran through the facts in my head. A girl had been found mutilated, a name carved into her forehead, my name. Someone had left a message. A warning. Then, less than an hour later, an anonymous caller threatened my daughter. This wasn't coincidence. Someone was making this personal. And I was going to find out who. My house came into view, sitting at the end of a long dirt driveway surrounded by towering oak trees. The porch light was still on, casting an eerie glow over the front yard. Everything looked normal. Too normal. I slammed on the brakes, barely putting the truck in park before I was out, gun drawn. Rawlings was a step behind me, his own weapon at the ready. I took the front door in three long strides and shoved it open. Riley. My voice was sharp, slicing through the quiet. No answer. My pulse hammered. I moved fast, checking the living room, the kitchen, the back door. Nothing. Then, a faint thump upstairs. I was up the steps in seconds, my heart pounding. I reached Riley's door and threw it open. She was sitting on her bed, earbuds in, scrolling through her phone, completely oblivious. She looked up, startled. Dad? What the hell? I didn't give her a chance to finish. I grabbed her shoulders, scanning her face, her arms, checking for cuts, bruises, anything. She yanked away, frowning. Jesus, Dad, what is wrong with you? I exhaled sharply, running a hand through my hair. Relief was a quick stab to the gut before it faded into something else, something more dangerous. I turned to Rawlings, who was already checking the windows, the closets, every dark corner of the room. He wasn't taking chances. Riley crossed her arms. Okay, seriously. What the fuck is going on? I stared at her for a long second, debating how much to tell her. Then I decided she needed to know. You're in danger, I said, my voice gruff. Someone called the station. Said you're next. Her face went pale. Next. I nodded. They killed a girl tonight. Left her body for me to find. And now they're coming after you. For the first time, real fear flickered in her eyes. But then, just as fast, it was gone, replaced by something harder. She had my fire. My temper. She clenched her fists. Let them fucking try. Rawlings snorted. She's definitely your kid. I ignored him. We're leaving. Now. She frowned. Where are we going? Somewhere safe. She hesitated, then nodded. Okay. Just let me grab a few things. I let her move, but I didn't take my eyes off her. My mind was racing, putting together pieces of a puzzle I hadn't even known existed until tonight. Whoever had killed that girl wanted me to see it. They wanted me to feel it. And now they were going after Riley. That meant this wasn't just about murder. This was about me, and I needed to find out why. Fast. Riley shoved a few things into a backpack, slung it over her shoulder, and turned to me. Let's go. I nodded and led her downstairs. The second we stepped outside, I felt it. That prickling sensation at the back of my neck. The feeling of being watched. I stopped on the porch, scanning the tree line, the dark corners where the shadows ran deep. Nothing moved. No wind. No rustling leaves. No sound. But I knew we weren't alone. Rawlings must have felt it too, because he tensed beside me, his grip tightening on his gun. Riley frowned. What? I shook my head. Get in the truck. She didn't argue. She must have seen something in my face, something that told her now wasn't the time for questions. As soon as she was inside, I turned to Rawlings. You feel that? He nodded. Yeah, we're being watched. I scanned the trees again. Still nothing. But whoever they were out there. Waiting. Watching. I clenched my jaw. Let's go. We got in the truck and pulled out of the driveway. I didn't look back. But I knew, without a doubt, that someone was standing in the darkness, watching us leave. And they were just getting started. The ride to the station was tense. Riley sat in the back seat, arms crossed, eyes flicking between me and Rawlings. She wanted answers, but she also knew I wasn't in the mood to give them. Not yet. I was too busy thinking. Whoever was behind this wasn't working alone. This was planned. Organized. A ritualistic killing. A public message. A personal threat. There was a pattern here. And I needed to figure it out before it was too late. When we pulled into the station, Lydia was waiting at the door, looking uneasy. She gave Riley a quick once-over, then looked at me. You all right, Sheriff? I nodded. We secure. She hesitated. For now. I didn't like the sound of that. I led Riley inside, straight to my office. She sat down, arms still crossed, expression unreadable. I sat across from her. I need you to listen to me carefully. She met my eyes. I'm listening. I exhaled. This town isn't what you think it is. It's got secrets. Old ones. Bad ones. She raised an eyebrow. You mean the bullshit about sacrifices? I didn't answer right away. Then finally, it's not bullshit. Her face paled. I leaned forward. And now they want you. She swallowed. Why? I hesitated, then shook my head. I don't know yet, but I'm gonna find out. A sharp knock on the door made us both jump. Rawlings stepped in, face grim. They're here, Sheriff. I stood. Who? He swallowed hard. The council. The air in the room shifted. Riley frowned. Who the hell is the council? I clenched my jaw. The people who run this town. Her eyes narrowed. And what do they want? I looked at her. Then at Rawlings. Then back at the door. I already knew the answer. They want you. Chapter 3. The air inside the station felt different. Heavier. Like something had shifted the moment Rawlings spoke those words. The council is here. I wasn't a man easily rattled, but hearing that, it sent a cold wave of something I hadn't felt in a long time slithering down my spine. Riley frowned, glancing between Rawlings and me. Who the hell is the council? I clenched my jaw. The people who run this town. Her eyes narrowed. You mean the mayor? The sheriff, you? I shook my head. Not officially. The real power in this town? It's not on paper. It's not in elections. It's in blood. It's in names. She scoffed. That sounds like some conspiracy theory bullshit. I met her eyes, and whatever she saw in them made her stop talking real quick. She swallowed. You're serious. I nodded. Rawlings shifted uncomfortably. Sheriff, they're waiting for you. I took a breath. Where? Conference room. I exhaled through my nose. Figures. I turned back to Riley. Stay here. The hell I will, she shot back, crossing her arms. Riley. My voice dropped, my patience already running thin. This isn't up for debate. Her jaw tightened. I saw the fight in her, the stubborn fire she'd inherited from me. But this wasn't a battle she could win. Not yet. Finally, she exhaled sharply and sank back into the chair, arms still crossed. Fine. But you better tell me everything when you get back. I didn't answer. I just turned and walked out, Rawlings following close behind. As we moved down the hall, he muttered. This feel wrong to you? Yeah. You think they had something to do with the girl in the barn? I think they have something to do with everything. Rawlings didn't argue. Neither of us spoke again as we reached the door. I placed my hand on the knob, took a deep breath, and stepped inside. Four men sat at the long wooden table. They were dressed in black, crisp suits that didn't quite match the town's usual laid-back, small-town vibe. But then again, these men weren't regular citizens. They were the council, the ones who truly ran Crow's Hollow. At the head of the table sat Jonah Crowley, Elder Crowley, the man who, despite his frail, thinning white hair and wrinkled face, still carried himself like a goddamn king. He had the kind of presence that demanded attention, the kind of power that didn't need to be spoken. It was just known. To his right sat Victor Hale, the town's most successful businessman, or at least, the man who owned most of it. Everything from the lumber mills to the banks had Hale's fingers in it. Next to him, Thomas Voss, the so-called historian of Crow's Hollow. But we all knew his real job, keeping the past buried. And finally, on the far left, was Reverend Eli Grayson, head of the local church. The man who spoke of God with one hand on the Bible and the other in the town's deepest, darkest secrets. They all turned as I entered. Jonah smiled. Sheriff Barrett. I didn't sit. Didn't greet them. I crossed my arms. What do you want? Jonah's smile didn't waver. Please, have a seat. I'm good right here. His expression remained calm, but I saw the flicker of irritation in his pale blue eyes. As you wish. He folded his hands. I assume you already know why we're here. I clenched my jaw. The girl in the barn. Jonah nodded. And the message she left behind. Message. Like it was some kind of fucking invitation instead of a mutilated corpse with my name carved into her flesh. Cut the bullshit, I snapped. You didn't call this meeting because you're concerned. You called it because someone made this personal. Jonah tilted his head. Someone did make it personal, Sheriff. And that concerns all of us. Victor Hale leaned forward. That girl wasn't chosen at random. No shit. Reverend Grayson sighed, rubbing his temples. We were hoping to avoid this conversation, but given the circumstances, he looked at Jonah. The old man nodded. Then he turned back to me. You've been sheriff for how long now, Cole? I narrowed my eyes. 15 years. And in those 15 years, have you ever asked yourself why Crow's Hollow has always been different? I stayed silent. Have you ever wondered why, unlike the neighboring towns, we have no real crime? No gang violence? No drug epidemics? His voice was even, steady. Have you ever questioned why, despite our isolation, this town continues to thrive? I clenched my fists. I knew where this was going. The old whispers. The rumors. The ones I had spent years ignoring, dismissing as paranoid nonsense. You're talking about the sacrifices. My voice was flat. Jonah didn't flinch. I'm talking about tradition. Rawlings inhaled sharply beside me. I exhaled. You're saying this is part of the Crow's Feast. Jonah's smile returned. It has always been the way of things, Sheriff. Blood for prosperity. A life taken so that many may flourish. I shook my head. That's bullshit. Jonah sighed, almost pitying. You don't have to believe in it, Cole. But that doesn't change the fact that it is real. And it has kept this town alive. My blood ran hot. You're telling me you murder innocent girls every 10 years, and you expect me to just accept that? Jonah's smile didn't falter. You were never meant to know. My fists clenched. Well, I fucking know now. Thomas Voss finally spoke, his voice quiet. And now, it is your turn to decide. I stilled. Decide what? Jonah leaned forward, his voice calm, measured. Who takes her place? The air in the room turned razor sharp. For a moment, I thought I misheard him. What? Jonah smiled, that same patronizing, I know better than you expression he'd worn since the day I met him. The girl in the barn was unexpected. A mistake. A deviation from the process. But the ritual must be completed. If not her, then another. My stomach turned to ice. Rawlings took a step forward. You sick fucks. Jonah ignored him, his eyes locked on me. You must choose, Sheriff. If the town is to survive, the offering must be made. I took a breath, slow and deep, my hands trembling at my sides. And then, very quietly, I asked the question I already knew the answer to. And if I refuse? Jonah's smile never wavered. But his eyes darkened. Then your daughter takes her place. Chapter 4. The air in the room felt suffocating, heavy with something thick and unspoken. Jonah Crowley's words echoed in my head, each syllable carving into my skull like the blade that had carved my name into that girl's forehead. Then your daughter takes her place. I stared at him. At all of them. The council. The four men who held this town by the throat, hiding their sins behind their money, their history, their so-called traditions. I didn't move. Didn't blink. My hands were curled into fists at my sides, my jaw clenched so tight I thought my teeth might crack. Rawlings shifted beside me, his breath uneven. He was ready to put a bullet in every man sitting at that table, and truth be told, so was I. Jonah Crowley folded his hands in front of him, as calm as ever. We don't expect you to like it, Sheriff, but the balance must be maintained. I exhaled slowly, forcing myself to stay in control. And if I say no? The old man sighed. Then the town suffers. I scoffed. You mean you suffer? A flicker of something cold crossed his expression. No, Sheriff. Everyone. Victor Hale leaned forward, his voice smooth, reasonable. The feast has kept Crow's Hollow prosperous for nearly 2 centuries. Nowhere has touched us. No famine. No sickness. No plague of violence like in other towns. We are protected. I shook my head. At the cost of innocent blood. The cost of one, Hale corrected. So that many may live. I laughed, a hollow, bitter sound. That's the same excuse every monster has ever given before they put a knife to someone's throat. Jonah's expression didn't change. You are the sheriff, the protector of Crow's Hollow. This duty falls to you. I leaned forward, my voice like gravel. If you so much as look at Riley, I will kill every single one of you. Jonah studied me for a long moment. Then slowly he nodded. We expected no less from you, Sheriff. He glanced at Victor, who pulled a small black box from inside his coat and slid it across the table. I didn't touch it. Jonah gestured toward it. Inside is a list. A carefully selected group of names. Each one chosen for suitability. My stomach twisted. You want me to pick someone? Jonah nodded. By the end of the week. I stared at the box. It felt like a fucking bomb sitting there on the table. Jonah leaned back, his voice softening. This is not a choice we give lightly. But it is a choice, Sheriff. A choice every leader of this town has made before you. My hands shook. I curled them into fists to hide it. I'd always known Crow's Hollow had its secrets. But this? This was deeper than anything I could have imagined. And I was out of time. Jonah's voice dropped lower. Choose wisely, Sheriff. Then he stood. So did the others. And just like that, the meeting was over. They walked out one by one, leaving me staring at the black box on the table like it might lunge at me and sink its teeth into my throat. Rawlings let out a slow breath. Jesus Christ, Cole. I didn't answer. I just picked up the box and walked out of the room. Riley was waiting for me in my office, sitting in my chair with her feet propped up on the desk. She glanced up when I walked in, her expression unreadable. Well, she said. I set the box down, staring at it like it might start whispering. She frowned. What the hell is that? I hesitated. Then, finally, a death sentence. Her brows furrowed. For who? I sighed, rubbing my face. They want me to pick someone. Her confusion turned to something darker. Pick someone for what? I hesitated. Riley stood up slowly. Dad. My throat felt tight. For the feast. The words barely left my lips before she slammed her hands against the desk. You've got to be fucking kidding me. I stayed quiet. She shook her head, pacing the room like she might explode. So what? You just get to play fucking God. Decide who lives and who dies. I looked at her. I don't plan on picking anyone. That made her pause. She turned to me, arms crossed. So what's your plan? I clenched my jaw. We run. Riley blinked. Run. I nodded. Tonight. We pack what we can, we get in the truck, and we don't look back. She stared at me. You're serious. Dead serious. She hesitated. Then, slowly, she nodded. Okay. I exhaled, the tension in my chest easing just slightly. But then, a loud crash. The sound of shattered glass. The window behind Riley exploded inward, and before I could react, she was yanked backward, dragged through the broken glass into the darkness outside. She screamed. I lunged. Too late. The shadows swallowed her whole. For a split second, I saw them. Figures dressed in black, masks covering their faces, disappearing into the night with my daughter in their grasp. And then, they were gone. I tore through the broken window, cutting my arms on the jagged edges, landing hard on the ground outside. My gun was in my hand before I even thought about it, my breath coming in ragged gasps. I scanned the area. Nothing. No movement. No sound. Just darkness. And Riley was gone. A sharp, piercing pain settled into my chest. I had just made a deal with the devil. And the devil had taken his due. Chapter 5. Riley was gone. The silence after her scream was the kind that settled into your bones, the kind that told you something had just changed forever. I stood outside the station, my boots crunching on shattered glass, my gun drawn, my breath coming fast and ragged. The air smelled like dust and blood, and the night stretched out around me, dark and endless. I scanned the area, my pulse hammering against my ribs. The bastards had moved fast, too fast. They'd been waiting for this moment, for my refusal, for my mistake. Rawlings barreled out of the station behind me, gun at the ready. "Sheriff, what the hell just happened?" I ignored him, dropping to one knee, running my fingers over the dirt where Riley had been pulled through the window. The tire tracks were fresh. A heavy vehicle. Probably a van. Headed west. They had her. I clenched my jaw so hard I thought my teeth might shatter. They had my daughter. And they had no fucking idea what kind of war they just started. I stood up slowly, forcing my breath to even out. "Get in the car." Rawlings hesitated. "Cole." I turned to him, and whatever he saw in my face shut him up real fast. We got in the truck and tore down the road, the tires spitting gravel behind us. I pushed the engine as hard as it would go, the speedometer needle climbing past 80, past 90. Every second counted. Every second was another mile between me and Riley. Rawlings was gripping the dash. "Jesus Christ, Cole." "Shut up," I snapped. He did. The roads outside of Crow's Hollow were long and empty, stretching into nothing but thick trees and darkness. I followed the tracks, my headlights bouncing over the uneven terrain. My gut was a tight, burning knot. I had spent my whole life pretending this town was just like any other, ignoring the whispers, dismissing the rumors. But now the only thing that mattered was burning it all to the fucking ground. A sign loomed ahead, barely visible in the dark. "Hale Quarry, private property, and no trespassing." Of course. Victor Hale's land. The bastards had taken her home. I didn't slow down. The quarry was an old, abandoned pit, long since dried up. It sat at the edge of town like an open wound, forgotten by most. But not by them. The council had used this land before. I knew that much. I killed the headlights as I neared the entrance. There were two vehicles parked near the main building, a black SUV and a dark gray van. I clenched my jaw. The van. Riley was inside. Rawlings exhaled, checking his gun. "How do you want to do this?" I glanced at him. "You go in loud, or you go in quiet. But either way, you go in knowing we're leaving with her." Rawlings nodded. "Loud. Good." I stepped out of the truck, gun raised, and moved through the dark, my boots barely making a sound on the gravel. Rawlings flanked me, his breath controlled, steady. Then movement. A man standing near the van, dressed in black. A mask covering the lower half of his face. He hadn't seen us yet. I put a bullet in his knee before he could. He collapsed with a scream, gun clattering to the ground. "Fuck." I was on him in a second, pressing my knee into his chest, my gun against his temple. "Where is she?" He groaned, gripping his leg. I don't. I pressed the barrel harder. "Where the fuck is she?" "Inside," he gasped. "Main building, second floor." I stood and kicked his goddamn teeth in before moving toward the entrance. Rawlings shot out the lock, and we shoved through the heavy steel door. Inside, the air was thick with dust and mildew. The lights overhead flickered weakly. Footsteps echoed above us. Two, maybe three people. And then I heard it. A muffled scream. "Riley." I moved fast, taking the stairs two at a time. Rawlings covered my six, his gun sweeping the hallway. A door at the end was slightly ajar. Light spilled out from underneath. I kicked it open. And there she was. Tied to a chair, her mouth duct taped, her eyes burning with rage. Standing beside her, Jonah Crowley. The old bastard barely flinched when I raised my gun. Instead, he sighed. "I was hoping you'd be smarter than this, Sheriff." I took a step forward. "You took my daughter." He didn't deny it. I aimed for his head. "Untie her. Now." Jonah shook his head. "You're making a mistake, Cole." "The only mistake I made was not killing you the second you threatened her." Rawlings kept his gun on the doorway behind us. "We don't have time for this shit, Cole." He was right. I moved toward Riley, knife in hand, cutting through the ropes binding her. Jonah exhaled. "You think you're saving her?" I ignored him, pulling the tape from her mouth. She coughed, then glared at me. "Took you long enough." A gun cocked behind me. I spun. Bang. Jonah staggered, a hole in his forehead, his body hitting the ground with a sickening thud. Rawlings lowered his gun. Was getting real tired of his voice. More footsteps coming fast. "Time to go," I muttered. I pulled Riley up, and we ran. Down the stairs. Through the empty corridors. Out into the night. Gunfire erupted behind us. Bullets shattered glass, ricocheted off steel beams. I shoved Riley ahead of me as we sprinted for the truck. Rawlings fired over his shoulder, taking one of them down before diving into the driver's seat. I shoved Riley into the truck and jumped in after her. "Go!" I barked. Rawlings floored it. The truck fishtailed as we tore out of the quarry, bullets bouncing off the tailgate. The headlights carved through the darkness, the road stretching ahead. Riley was shaking, her hands clenched into fists. They would have killed me. I exhaled. They still might try. She turned to me. "What do we do now?" I looked back at the burning quarry in the rearview mirror. The town had made its choice. Now it was my turn. I met her eyes. "We end this." Epilogue. The council was dead. But Crow's Hollow wasn't free. Not yet. There were still secrets buried deep in the town's blood-soaked soil, still shadows lurking in the corners. But one thing was certain. The feast was over. And if anyone ever tried to bring it back, I'd be waiting, gun loaded, knife sharpened, and ready to finish what I started.